Thank you for tuning in to episode 16 of the Keto Matrix podcast. Man, oh man, this episode is going to be great. But before we get into that and the information there, I just wanted to kind of share with you guys. When I started this podcast, the whole thought, preface, purpose of this was to have information that was available to people that were confused and looking for a source where it would be consistent, solid, and they didn't have to worry about if it was accurate. That's what's here. But at the same time, I also wanted people to be able to listen in and feel like they could relate with whatever their story was, similar to some of the guests that are here. You know, in the intro, when you hear, this is for keto industry experts and everyday people. The everyday people thing is real. I want to be able to connect you guys with everyday people that have made the change, taken the red pill, shift things in their life, shift things in their mind in order to literally unlock the best version of themselves. That is super, super important to me. So without further ado, I want to kind of introduce Steven Santucci. This guy is known as Kids Coffee Bacon, kids.coffee.bacon on Instagram. And he actually showed up on a live feed that I had on Instagram. And, you know, I looked at his name, I thought it was pretty crazy. And I was actually in the middle of talking about caffeine. We connected. I sent him a DM. He sent me one. I kind of asked him to just share a story a little bit. We got to talking and he's an everyday person. He has a family. It's a family of three. He talks about how he started on keto, his wife started on keto, how they raised their daughter ketogenically, and how he's really just trying to make the best decisions in order to keep his vitality up and keep his family whole and strong. So I think that you'll be able to relate with Steven. I think that you'll be able to lean in and kind of hear the transparency and vulnerability of how he made his decisions, why he made those decisions, and how he continues to stay on the path. I also know, I'm throwing this out there, Steven's a keto coach. Like I've said so many times, I may not be the best coach for you, but there are so many others that have been on here that are great coaches in addition to myself. Steven may be one of them. So check out Kids Coffee Bacon. Check out Don't Fear the Fat as a hashtag. Hashtag Don't Fear the Fat. Those things will be in the show notes. Listen to the episode. Enjoy. And thank you so much. If this episode or any of the other episodes has resonated with you, do me a favor. I've always said like, share, and subscribe. But Brittany and I would really appreciate it if you shared it with one person. If there's someone that you know that's been struggling with one of these things, some of the episodes, whether it was on macros, whether it was body image, whether it was going carnivore because of their mental stability, whatever it was, if there's something that relates to you and it resonated with you, please share it with someone else that you think it would impact. We appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. Enjoy.
The Keto Matrix Podcast, where myths are busted, science is explained, and the keto lifestyle is discussed by industry experts and everyday people alike. For more information and support, go to theketomatrix.com. Now, let's jump into our latest episode.
Steven, good afternoon, man. How are you doing?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Oh, can't complain, man. It's another day in paradise. It's actually really feels like paradise. It's 70 degrees outside. And the last few days, I should say the last few weeks, it's been somewhere between like the 30s and the 50s. So going outside today with it being 70 is kind of weird, especially for North Carolina.
Oh, yeah. I'm from California, so it's usually always sunny here. But right now it's like 50. So that's cold for us here.
Yes, no kidding. I mean, I feel like it's, you know, I lived in Florida for quite some bit. I'm originally from New York, but at the end of the day, now, like the holiday season, I feel like it's not really the holidays if it's not cold, but at the same time, I hate the cold. So I don't know. I guess it's a catch 22.
Yeah. My dad's from upstate New York, so he hates the cold too.
Yeah. So what part of upstate New York?
Syracuse.
Yeah, really. Okay, so my funny story, my wife, when we got married on a Saturday, and literally the following Monday, we packed and moved to Albany, New York. And that was our intro to our first week of marriage. It was absolutely ridiculously cold and one of the worst winters ever. So for anyone listening that's considering the move to upstate New York, I'd reconsider it unless you really love the snow. But I digress. So one of the things that's crazy, man, is, you know, I tell people all the time that I want this podcast to be industry experts, but everyday people alike. It's in the intro to every single episode. And I don't know that it really resonates. I feel like sometimes people think I say it as fluff, like it just sounds cool. But it's really not. Like I come across people all the time that are just living their life and they're on keto. And I'm just so fascinated by how they found their way there and really wish and hope that they take their journey and share it beyond themselves, because I think it's so important that we each share just the challenge of shifting our mindset and the challenges that we still go through day in and day out in order to be different than what the norm is. Like, I'm really, really all about not being normal. So having said that, I just saw you on an Instagram. I was doing an Instagram live with Keto Woke and saw the name on your IG, which is Kids Coffee and Bacon, which I thought was definitely interesting and different, and just kind of asked to share your story a little bit, stalked you a little bit on Instagram, and here we are. So first off, thanks for taking the time out. I appreciate it. I realize it's a sacrifice no matter what. There's always other things that you could be doing. But I'm sure the listeners would love to know, one, how you came up with the name Kids Coffee Bacon, but kind of what's your background? What's your story? How did you find keto? How did you get to where you are now?
Always when I was younger, I was always an overweight kid. I played a lot of video games. So like I just ate a lot of video games, ate a bunch of Cheez-Its. Like I used to eat Cheez-Its by like the, like when I was like 17, 18, by like the red cup, those Solo cups. Like my brother to this day too, he used to do the same thing, says that they should give serving sizes by red cups.
You know what? That's probably a legit statement. I mean, it goes with the box and everything. They should probably come up with some kind of partnership. Yeah. Solo cups and Cheez-Its. What's your favorite video game?
I loved Zelda and I loved Final Fantasy.
Zelda and Final Fantasy. All right. This is a question for the gamers that are listening. Are you a PlayStation platform, Xbox platform, or PC enthusiast?
Xbox.
Okay. Okay.
I sense you're judging me.
No, not judging you at all. I've gone back and forth a little bit. I feel like I'm more of a PlayStation platform guy now. I did have a period of time where I absolutely loved Xbox and I felt like it was, you know, above and beyond and everything else. But yeah, I think I'm more of a PlayStation fanboy now. But either way, no worries.
Well, now I don't play any games, so it's just kind of like I have a kid, so
right,
I don't
right
have time, well, for that anymore. Yeah.
The game of life.
Yeah, the game of life. I love that game. It's awesome.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to the story. Like, so I'm mind you, I'm 5'2". At my heaviest, I was over 200 pounds.
What, so 200, just picture. Like 201, 220?
I think I got up to 215.
215. Okay, cool. 5'2", 215. That's chunky.
just a little bit. I was like Pugsley from the Addams Family.
Oh, I'm picturing it now. All right, cool.
So my parents owned a paintball shop and I worked there, and next door to us was like a nutritionist, and he owned a supplement shop, and my dad offered to help me lose weight, and that's when I started working out. So I must say that I initially lost all my weight not with keto. It was with a low carb, low fat protein, high protein, low calorie diet, which worked perfectly. I lost 50 pounds and that was awesome. But I think that metabolically damaged me.
Okay, wait, let's rewind for a second. I'm visualizing all of these things right now. First, I can't imagine a nutritionist next to a paintball shop, but that's a whole nother story for a different day. But you're 215, your dad says, hey, I'm going to help you lose weight. Now, is that because you were just grossly in bad health, or did your dad just say, hey, I want to help ignite some change, or how did that work?
He wanted to help ignite some change.
Okay.
So like he saw that I had the interest of losing weight. I just didn't know how to go about it.
Okay. And is that something you were just like voicing, or you kept throwing the Solo red cups of Cheez-Its out and he was like, wait, what are you doing? And you're like, I'm trying to lose weight.
I think he wanted all the Cheez-Its to himself, so he just wanted me to like stop eating them.
Fair game. That makes sense. Okay, so I mean, first off, kudos to your dad. I think that's cool that, you know, any time we're, and I don't have any children, but anytime you're looking at your children saying, hey, how can I help them with something, I think is a good look. So you decide you're going to go low carb, low fat, protein, low calorie, and this is based on the guidelines the nutritionist next door is telling you, or?
Yeah, he also trained bodybuilders, so he put me pretty much on a bodybuilding diet. So I had egg whites in the morning, I had a protein shake for lunch, and like I had pretty much chicken breast and steamed vegetables for dinner.
Yeah, that sounds packed with flavor.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Slightly better than boiled chicken, but yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, so how did you feel during that period of time? You know, you're losing weight, so obviously you started feeling a little bit better, I would assume, but...
At the time I felt great. Like, I think I was so unhealthy that that little change just sparked, like, I started to work out. Like, the trainer told me later, I honestly thought you were going to quit after the first day because he pushed me so hard. Next day I was so sore and I was hungry. I was everything else, but I was so determined to lose weight that I stuck to it. And to this day, I still remain friends with him. He's like, yeah, I honestly, you are one of my best clients.
Yeah, we always like the clients that do well, for sure. So,
yeah.
I don't mean to keep interrupting your story here, but there's so many questions that I come up. So what was your why? Like, why did you decide, I want to be healthier?
I wanted to, honestly, it was a vanity. I wanted to look better. I wanted to look like the, I wasn't more thinking about health back then. I was just thinking about it. I want to be skinny because I was the fat friend.
Okay. I get that. So you just wanted to change your looks.
Yes.
Okay. And this is before you were married, before you had any children. Like,
before,
what's the time
frame? Before I had any children. The time frame in that, I was 21 years old. I'm 34 now. So, like.
Okay, cool. This was a while. 13 years ago. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So now, were you dating anyone at this point in time when you decided to make this change?
Oh no. Like, I felt unconfident because, like, I didn't have the confidence back then to go up to a girl or just even how to even go about that. Like, because I felt like they're going to judge me instantly because I'm 215 pounds.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool. All right. So 5'2", 215, 21 years old, you pushing the red solo cups aside, you decided you just wanted to look better. And
yeah,
I'm going into this depth as far as like painting this picture, because I feel like, I mean, I don't know, man, when I was in college, I played a ton of video games. Like, that's gotta be the normal for so many people right now. Right. They're 21. They don't go out of the house. And you know, especially now, like, we have social media and Facebook and Snapchat and all these other things where, like, this is the new normal. And, you know, I think that that's awesome that you were like, hey, I'm going to start and do something. And then your dad is still kind of put that out there to help with that. So cool. So you're on this bodybuilding diet, you go to the gym and get crushed. And you just are determined to look like the guys on the magazines. So
yeah,
you continue.
Yeah, I continued. So I did lose a lot of weight fast. And then, like, once I got to my goal weight, I kind of let things go. I stopped training with a trainer. I still followed sort of the bodybuilding diet. I'd have cheat days. I got back up to around like 180. And in my mind, since I was continuing to work out, I still thought I was fit. Until I ran into my trainer and I saw his look of disgustment when he saw me, and it's like, what the hell happened? And then I was like, something clicked. And I was like, yeah, something's still wrong. I went back to my old habits.
I love that. I'm laughing because I remember thinking, yeah, I work out 5-6 days a week. I'm crushing weights. Like, I am strong as an ox. Like, I have to be fit. Having no recollection or thought process, upwards of 260, 270, 280. Mm-hmm. Like, bro, this isn't healthy at all. So that's cool. What was the lowest weight you ever got when you were doing the whole bodybuilding situation? What was your lowest weight?
134. But like, people that saw me thought like I had cancer or something just because of how bad I looked. Like, I was never taught how to lift. So I just went through the motions. So like, I didn't really still have a physique to me. I just got skinnier. I never developed that mind muscle connection.
Cool.
So I just looked so small, and like, someone was like, are you sick? I was like, no, I thought I was fit.
Right. Now, I don't want to throw your trainer under the bus here, but so what you're saying is that you had a trainer that didn't teach you your mind muscle connection and the importance of those things.
Correct.
Okay, fair enough. So let's continue. All right, so you're 134, you get back up to 180, your trainer looks at you in disgust, and then what?
I was like, you know what? I decided at that point, like, to get myself motivated, because if I have a goal, then I'm much more likely to continue on it. I was like, I'm going to try for a bodybuilding show. So mind you, this is all before I started keto. So this is around 2011. So I still contacted him of how to get me ready for a bodybuilding show. And I started to get ready then. So mind you, I was already at a caloric deficit. I was overweight. And then I start to try to train for a bodybuilding show. And I obviously, I competed at NPC. They're non-drug tested. So I'm not going to lie to anyone and say I didn't take any exogenous supplements.
Okay. Okay. Any PEDs?
Yeah. Yeah. None. Right.
Okay. But no worries.
I still followed a bodybuilding diet. So I went from a calorie deficit to even more calorie deficit. So I did compete in the show. I didn't do as well as I wanted. I felt like with as much work as I was doing, like none of the fat came off. Like I was still over, I want to say 7% body fat at the lowest I got. But wow, I didn't look good. I just felt like I could have looked better. Like I was doing 2 hours of cardio a day, training an hour and a half with weights, and nothing was coming off towards the end.
Okay, so a couple of things I want to like highlight for this people, for people, because I feel like this is the thing that I think is so overlooked. But you had a caloric deficit before you decided you were going to do this bodybuilding show, and at the caloric deficit, you had gotten up to 180 pounds.
Yes.
Okay. Caloric deficit equals 50 pound gain from the 134 that you were at. Makes no sense, but okay. Makes no sense. Like if I'm an outside person looking in, makes complete sense to me. But I get that. And then you now compete and your condition for the day of the show, you are, you know, at best like 7%, which I mean, you and I both know the 7% on stage is probably not going to get you where you need to go as far as placements.
No.
Okay. So first off, kudos for that transparency and vulnerability of sharing that information. I think that that's something that's easily overlooked. So I appreciate that. And I'm sure the listeners do too. So now once you go through the show and you're kind of like, oh, this isn't really where I want it to be. And you realize that supplements are not going to get you to where you need to go. And there were still other key factors missing. What's your mindset post show? Like, how do you feel after? And how long was that prep?
That prep was 4 months.
Okay. Okay. So we're talking 20, we're a good 20 weeks, 16 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay.
I still kept the same mindset. Don't get me wrong, after the show, but I ate like so much after the show. Like Robert says in his, like before, after his first show, he just ate and people were just see him growing right before their eyes. That was like how I did. I went to BJ's. I think I ate a whole large pizza, a whole party size Pizookie. And it's post show, like people don't people see you on stage and they see all the good. They don't see like what happens after. Mentally, you're so stressed and you want to eat and you just eat everything. I was full and I was, for some reason, of still putting stuff in my mouth. Like, I know it's hard to explain. It's
It's the ultimate binge. It's not. Yeah. You know, I think that it's not hard to explain if you think of it outside of bodybuilding or outside of a show, right? Like, you know, there are people everywhere that have a bad breakup and go through a pint of ice cream or, you know, will stuff their face with a super large popcorn. Ooh, here we go. I just saw Creed 2 and I can't get over this, man. Like sitting down in a movie theater, if there's ever any kind of silence between previews or between the preview and when the main show comes on or whatever, and you just listen to the amount of crunching and food that's being stuffed in people's mouth, it's like, oh my word, what are you doing and why? So I don't think that it may be hard to put into words, but it shouldn't be hard for people to relate to, because I feel like, I mean, anyone that's been on this podcast has had to overcome some sort of emotional or is continuing. I don't want to say is overcome. Like overcome sounds like it's done, right? And it's not. Like daily to recognize that emotionally we can't just take food and stuff it in our mouth. So I think that that's huge. But I also think, like, as you pointed out, Robert Sykes, Keto Savage, he has, you know, said how he's used keto to kind of overcome eating disorders, in the sense that you finally get to the point where you can put your macros in and then, you know, like, hey, nutritionally, I'm giving my body what it needs. So you can kind of understand and digest the emotional aspect of, yeah, you may want an extra chicken breast, but you don't need it. Or in this case, pork chop or whatever else. But that's huge. So you realize that you're, and FYI, a party size Pizookie, man, is like, I want to say it's like 1400 calories just by itself.
Yeah.
It's like, I remember when I did like, this was before intermittent fasting, but it was kind of just the if it fits your macro mentality. And I was looking at the macro breakdown of a Pizookie and I was like, yeah, I don't have room for that. And bro, I was amazed at how much the caloric density is of a Pizookie, even a regular size one. It's insane. But either way, so you are now post-show, stuff in your face, eating beyond full, and what's the light bulb?
I posted a Instagram video of my buddy did squats and I wanted to one up him, so I did squats and I posted the video and I looked at my face and I was like, I just got done doing a show and my face looks like it's like 14 pounds bigger than I saw a video of me, so I was like, oh, something needs to change again. I was unhappy with my placement from the first show, so I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna jump into another prep. So I jumped immediately into another prep with the same protocol, diet-wise and supplement-wise, that I did in the previous show. I was just like, I'm going to work out harder. I was trying to outwork myself previously to get in better condition. So I've done two shows so far.
Cool. How did the second show, what was the outcome of that one? How did that roll out?
I placed in sixth, so I was one off from placing in top five.
Okay. And then what was your conditioning like there? If you were at 7% your first show, how did you come in second show?
I came in a bit lighter, so I think I was still like five. My legs held a lot of my weight the last time, because everyone said my legs were better conditioned this show, so I think that's what came up better.
Okay. And, I mean, man, I'm just sitting here thinking about the mental aspect of coming out of one show, having a brief break, mentally beating myself up for looking at my face being fatter than it should be, and then jumping into the prep of the next. I mean, your stress must have been like through the roof.
Oh, yeah. On top of trying to work 6 days a week and everything else, yeah.
Okay, so what do you think your lowest moment was during the prep? Like the moment, the second prep around, where you were just like, I want to eat all the food. How did you kind of get through the day in and day out of still sticking to the plan?
That part's never hard for me. That's my wife always comments on, because I do help people with their keto journey, but my wife always comments on me, not everyone has your willpower. So, but I think there are some times, like when I saw family, like I did, mind you, it was almost a year of prepping. This was around Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Wow.
So having to deal with, my parents asking me to, like, I showed up at their house once. They're like, can you put the pies in the oven? And I was like, mind you, I'm caloric deficit, depriving myself. And now I see all these pies. I see prime rib. I see all this. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, what am I doing here? Why am I even coming to family Thanksgiving? Yeah, I think that was my lowest of seeing, having to see all that and having not be able to partake.
Wow. Okay. So I think one of the things I want to kind of, you know, you say you're coaching people too. And I think at this point in time, one of the things that it always resonates with me when I have a client, I'm on the phone and we're talking about the next step, the thing that they have to go through, is that there can be a negative association with positive growth steps or desires, meaning you're trying to get your body in better health and better shape and in a better situation, but you're having a negative impact based on your mental thought process, the way that you're doing things, and the way in which you're really damaging your body to push it. And I feel like that's one of those things that so many people don't take into consideration when they're like, hey, I want to lose weight or I want to get healthier. And it's like, there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it, and a way that your body will be better for doing it and a way that it'll be worse off. So eventually I'm assuming you figured this out, because you said you had put yourself in such a metabolically damaged state. What was kind of the thing that had you that kind of get that realization where you were like, oh my goodness, like this isn't good?
Honestly, I didn't find that out till later. So like, I've done all the research on keto and everything else, and I realized, like, I think back on it now and I'm like, I put myself in such a metabolic deficit and I've hurt myself metabolically. There of no wonder I did so poorly in my previous attempts to do a show.
Okay, cool. It wasn't anything that you knew ahead of time. It was something that you've learned looking back, the hindsight.
Yeah. I think then I just thought I was like genetically damaged. I thought I was like not genetically gifted.
Okay. Fair enough.
Back then I thought it was a genetic thing.
Isn't it funny that we always look at ourselves internally and we're like, oh, you know, it's got to be me. You know, we look at the next guy and say they're amazing, but it's because they have great genetics. Or, you know, I can't do what they've done because genetically I'm not in that situation. And I'm not. Listen, there are some genetic freaks out there. But I think more often than not, it's not the genetic aspect of things. It's ourselves and kind of what position and place we put ourselves in and how we've gotten there. So cool, man. I love that. Okay, so what's the journey from there? Like, how did you kind of, you got out of the second show? How did you discover keto, or did you discover keto yet? Kind of walk through that.
I honestly didn't discover keto until I met my my wife. So at the time she was my girlfriend. We had our first Christmas together. She was paleo. So I was like, oh, paleo sounds good. It sounds like I can go with it with my training regimen. And for Christmas, she got me the ketogenic cookbook, Jimmy Moore's book.
Yep. Okay.
She got it by accident. She looked up low carb paleo, and then that's what popped up when she got me that. And I remember reading through it, and I was like, I thought the fact that it had a lot of animal fats, butter, and that, I was like, that's crazy. I was like, I'll supplement it with coconut oil. So I started to supplement some of the recipes in there instead of using animal fats, coconut oil. I tried to cut the fat down a little bit. Are you not use saturated fats?
Okay.
And then eventually I was like, I'm gonna see how my body does if I follow it to the T, because I always give my mom crap for not changing or for changing recipes. So I was like, I'm gonna build myself a plan with this cookbook. I'm gonna follow the recipes to the T. And I went from there, and then I started to feel better. I was dropping like a pound a day, and I did that for like 15 days. I was dropping a pound a day, and I felt awesome. And I was like, there's something here. So I dove more into the research. My wife was very supportive and was like, I'll jump on it too. And okay, we went from there. I mean, I started to dive deeper into it, and my lifts were going up in the gym. So I was like, this isn't detrimental to my health. I feel great.
How long was the time frame between, you know, and there's always a difference in people and how they respond to things, but like, how long was the time frame between you starting following the recipes to a T and then seeing your lifts go up?
There was a downtime. So like, I should have said that too, because a lot of people are going to think it's not instant. I had 2 weeks of downtime where I just felt like crap, but I pushed through it. Okay. And then I just remember one day deadlifting, and the weight was just coming up easy. And I was like, huh. I put more weight on it. Weight came up easy. I wasn't feeling like down, tired, or anything. And it was cool. About, like I said, week three is when it started to click for me. My wife, okay, it took a bit longer. My wife, she had the keto flu for like weeks. She said she felt like she had morning sickness.
Man, and okay.
We realized then it was electrolytes. So she upped her salt, upped her magnesium, and then she felt better after that.
Yeah, I think that's one of those things that it comes and goes as people like recognize and understand. And I think the biggest thing is that no matter what, it's a learning curve, right? Like, there's so much out there to adjust and go through. And a lot of that stuff is just learning your body, learning how it responds, and then identifying the time frame that worked best for you. So cool. So you finally, you're doing keto, you're going through it, your lifts are going up. Now, is this something that you decide you're going to stay on? When and how, and kind of, you know, kind of walk through what those conversations look like with your wife as you guys kind of embarked on this new lifestyle?
I embraced it better than her, because she likes sweets. She likes everything else. So she's like, I want to try to make my sweets work. I want to try to make this work and everything else. And I was like, I'm jumping head in. I felt a lot better. I didn't have crash during the day. So I was like, the research was there that it was healthy. I should state too, I do have a neurological condition called neurofibromatosis.
Okay, cool.
And I did research for the effects of neurologically how keto has helped. So I decided to stick to it just for that.
So wait, this is like a whole new podcast.
I know. I opened a whole new podcast. I was like,
yeah. So what is that? If you can kind of explain that condition,
I honestly can't explain it myself. It's a neurological condition. I have type 2, which is the type 1, which I think is slightly worse. But type 2 is sometimes I have little non-cancerous tumors grow along the spine. They can grow along the spine, and they can grow in the actual brain canal, in the brain.
Wow. Okay, cool.
And
I mean, not cool, when I was, okay.
not cool. Yeah. But when I was younger, they did find they call it a glioma in my brain. And at the time it was small enough where they didn't have any concern with it. And recently I got an MRI and it was showed clear.
Man, that's awesome. Dude, that's so cool. Mm. Okay. So how did you find out you had it? Like what is that? What was it? Was there any response different? I mean, like, how did you decide I was going to get tested? Like what?
This could open up a whole new podcast. We can do a whole podcast on that, but
it doesn't matter. Roll with it. I don't care. Let's go. Love it.
When I was younger, I had, I would have like stroke like symptoms where like I would walk and my left leg would start to drag to the floor. And I remember playing a paintball event and it was, at first I thought it was heat stroke because it was 127 outside when we were playing.
Okay.
And I got a major headache. I started to vomit. I had everything was wrong, felt wrong. And everyone's all, it's heat stroke. And I was like, no, something was telling me something was wrong. And I went to a neurologist. They did an MRI and I had hydrocephalus, which is a blockage in my brain.
Okay.
So they found the blockage in my brain and the glioma. And they did surgery to clean up the blockage. And since then, I have had no neurological symptoms from that. So I haven't had any of the stroke-like symptoms. But I still had some headaches from the glioma. So I didn't know keto could help that until like halfway into my keto journey when I researched it.
Man, that's awesome. Okay. So, I mean, you've got a ton of reasons to stay keto then. And I'm sure you continue to realize new ones as you continue along the journey. So cool. All right. So now you're eating keto, you're head first in, you're like, I'm just going to continue this path. I love it. Your wife is like over there trying to make her keto replacements with, whatever erythritol or whatever she's using. And, how does that shake out for you guys?
It shakes out good. I had no issues. I always tried to explain to her that like in my mind, I'm not using keto to try to mimic how I used to eat. I'm using it as a way to live. That's my way of eating now. And then she's on board now. Before she did like the keto sweets, like I made her the sweets. I kept them in the freezer or fridge and she ate them as she went. Sometimes she'd eat the whole thing. Sometimes like they would last forever. But now like I think I made her cheesecake pops and they've been in the freezer for like 5 days, so like I think she forgot about them. So she's on like keto has officially hit her where she doesn't have those cravings anymore for sweets.
That's absolutely awesome. Okay, cool. So now, you know, there's so many things that we talked about offline before we even got on about like things I know I want to cover with you, but you know, how long has this journey been so far, like when you started and where you are today?
2016 is when I started. It's 2018 now, so about two years I think I've been on full keto.
Okay. And, you know, your functionality and how you're performing, have you had like a DEXA or anything recently done as far as, and it doesn't have to be recent, but any time since you've been on the keto journey as far as like conditioning, body fat, and are you planning on doing a keto show, like a show on keto?
I haven't done the DEXA scan. I do plan on doing a show. I'm going to start my prep in the beginning of January. So I want to get a DEXA scan before then and then do it right before my show.
Okay. And so now that you're armed with so much more information, where do you think you're at? I mean, you've been at 7 before and you've been at 5 before, so you probably have a pretty good idea.
I think I'm around 15 right now.
Okay, cool. So you've obviously decided you're going to take some time to change the metabolic disaster that was the bodybuilding diet traditionally. You know, how does that look for you emotionally now with food? I mean, how do you feel like your response is? I'm like you as far as being able to set the course and just stay, you know, day in and day out. But, you know, I also recognize some of the mental strain that is. How have you felt now with your relationship with food, you know, eating ketogenically?
I felt a lot better. Like I see food as a fuel source now instead of a thing of enjoyment. I eat twice a day. Sometimes I eat just once a day. So I don't really crave like some of the foods. I just feel like I know what it's used for. I'm just going to use it as a tool, I guess, to say like,
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, I mean, it takes the emotional aspect of, you know, this food is going to heal my, you know, whatever stressful day or whatever outlook. So I love that. Okay, so now I know your Instagram name is Kids Coffee and Bacon. Can you unpack how you got that name or came up with it?
So 2017, my daughter was born. So I changed the name in 2017, where I changed it to Kids Coffee Bacon because I had a kid. I love coffee. I never loved coffee before until I met my wife, and she's a coffee addict. And now I think I drink it by the gallon. I'm actually drinking coffee right now.
Fantastic.
And then bacon, because when I first started keto, I was like, how am I going to get fats in and proteins? And I was like, I can eat bacon on this diet. So I just shoveled down bacon.
Ah, bacon. It's like the staple for everyone when they begin this journey.
Yeah, bacon, cheese, and coffee, butter.
Okay. But, so your daughter's 2017.
So now she's about to turn 2 in February. But I called it Kids Coffee Bacon because it was going to be my journey through being keto, drinking coffee, and raising a kid. So my kid is, for the most part, ketogenic. She eats what we eat, and she eats it no problem.
Okay. Have you had any controversy come up with that?
Oh, yes. I've had controversies with some family members, like going like, I don't think you should put your kid on a diet. I'm like, I hate the word diet.
Yeah.
It's a way of eating. Yeah. Yeah. I hate the word diet. It's a way of eating. They're like, you should give your kids grain. Like, why? Like, my kid eats better than most kids. My kid, I say she eats ketogenic-ish because she will eat squash, she will eat sweet potatoes, but she eats real food. That's the main thing I focus on with her is real food. Nothing that's manufactured, nothing that comes out of a can, nothing that comes in a package with ingredients I can't pronounce. She eats real food. It's either grown or it had a mother.
I love it. It's either grown or had a mother. Okay, so first off, I guess, was your wife on board with this right away? Like, how did you guys have this conversation, like, to get to this point?
I don't even think we had a conversation. I think we both are in tune with each other so much that it just, I think we were planning it prior to her being born of how we were going to introduce foods to her.
Okay.
So I don't think it was really, we were just both on board right off the bat.
Okay. All right. So now, somebody is thinking right now, I know I'm thinking, how does that look? Like, how do you even have that? So your daughter's 2 or will be 2 in February. So, I mean, like, obviously I'm assuming she was nursed for a certain period of time, which is completely keto, right? So that's cool. And then you start introducing foods. How did that look? Were you introducing like chopped up steaks or, I mean,
no, meat came last. I think she did. So we did non-keto vegetables at first, but we mixed it with breast milk. So like we pureed, I think the first thing she tried was squash, and we pureed it with breast milk. So it still had the fat in it from the breast milk, but it had the squash. So she loved that. She loved avocados. As she started to get older, reintroduced eggs. And when she started to get teeth, that's when we introduced meat. So I think she's... And now, like for breakfast, her breakfast staple is she has chia and flax seeds. So I said, like, it's ketogenic-ish.
Okay.
With heavy cream. So, like, she basically eats what we eat except for that breakfast and some squash and some sweet potatoes.
Okay, cool. I love it. All right. So, you know, this is obviously different than, you know, most people are doing. And I know family members probably, you know, have given you headache before in the past and probably still do for some of them that are unaware of it. But how has her development been, you know, during this period of time? You know, obviously there's, again, not having children, I keep putting that disclaimer out, but I know that there is like the 3-month checkup, the 6-month checkup, the, you know, how has that all been as far as her hitting her numbers and being what, you know, quote unquote, people would say is healthy and, you know, growing the way they should.
Everything is fine. The only thing is the doctor said was her weight. Her weight stayed stable. She wants to hit a certain point, but I was like, how is her weight staying stable? I tracked her calories one day and it was like upwards of like 1200.
Wow. Okay.
because she eats a lot of calorie dense food. And I was like, how is she not gaining weight? Like, she hit 22 pounds and stays there. She's running around. She also walks. She likes to move. We walked to the park once and she walked the whole way there. And that's like almost a mile.
Oh my goodness. Wow. At two, like, that's wow. That yeah, seems really advanced.
Yeah. She walked late, but she started talking super early.
Wow. Okay. So the doc wants her weight up.
The doctor suggested formula, and I looked at the formula, and the first thing was like corn syrup, and I was like, I'm not giving that to my daughter. So I made a shake with heavy cream, milk, and some of the veggies she liked, and she's been eating that. I made the chia no meal, which has lots of omega-3s because of the chia, flaxseed with milk, and she has a lot of calorie-dense food. She's slightly going up, but her height's going up, so as she gets taller, her weight stays the same, so she,
yeah, I know how that. Yeah, I mean, have you, and just out of curiosity, have you tried increasing her protein intake?
She eats a lot of protein. She just downed like 2 eggs and 2 slices of bacon before we got on this podcast.
Man, cool. I'd be interested just to know how you continue progressing with that. That's absolutely awesome. I mean, weight is such a, it's a factor that people have created all these charts for, but it's so ignorant sometimes, you know, like, how is that going to be a judgment of health? I don't get it.
Yeah, technically, my doctor told me I was overweight, and I was like, really? He's all, by charts, the BMI index, I'm overweight. I'm close to obese, and I'm like at 15% body fat.
Well, you know, the BMI, it's where everything is, man. Like, live there. So, either way, we won't even go into that type of conversation. I feel like this will turn from a podcast to a rant. But... So you're continuing along this journey. I mean, it's been 2 years. How did you get into helping people ketogenically and kind of how did that process work and evolve?
My dad asked me to help him. He was like, because my dad's overweight too. So my mom and my brother are skinny. Me and my dad were overweight. At this time, my dad was, I think, at his heaviest. And he saw, I think I can try this because he saw that I got to eat the cool foods. So he started to drop weight. He went through the keto flu. I just remember him asking me, like calling me, like, what do I do? And I told him to get some electrolytes and that, and he started to do better, and he stuck to it. He even stuck through Thanksgiving because he wasn't at his goal weight yet.
Wow. Okay. So this is first off full circle, right? Your dad helped you to start, and you know, now you're returning the favor, which is absolutely awesome. I mean, he just knew he was overweight. Is he about the same height? Like where's that in comparison?
I'm 5'2". He's about 5'5", 5'6".
Okay.
He was, I think, over 250.
Wow. Okay, cool. Yeah. So that's a lot. And when did this happen? Around what time? How long ago?
I forget. I want to say like 6 months ago. Okay. Maybe a little bit more.
Okay. So
between 6 and 9 months.
Okay. So when you're saying he stuck through Thanksgiving, you mean like a couple of weeks ago? Like he's still
a couple of weeks ago. His goal was to get down to 200 pounds, but he stepped on the scale and he was right before Thanksgiving and he was like 203 and he's all, I'm not there yet. So I'm not going to cheat on Thanksgiving because he had planned to cheat on Thanksgiving. Like meal, and I always advise against it because I advise against cheat meals because especially people who are just starting off keto. I can go off a whole another rant here, but
no. Listen, I tell people this all the time, so I'd love for you to unpack this. Continue. Okay. I'm loving it. Okay. Go ahead.
Because you're already coming from a metabolically damaged state, so your body has to work that much harder to get into a state of ketosis. So knocking yourself out when you barely got into it is counterproductive, in my opinion.
Cool. I like it. I co-sign. So I was, you know, everyone has got to look at things for each individual. But the one thing I will say is this. Anyone that I start, I don't care what their background is, I always say 6 weeks. If you're not in 6 weeks before you even consider a cheat, I don't want to talk about it. Now, I know there's some people that are like, I don't want to call it a cheat day. I want to say they ate off plan, blah, 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 whatever. I'm always a stickler for it's got to be 6 weeks, no matter what your background is. And then beyond that, you know, I've come to realize the more and more people I've coached that then you have to ask, you know, how much of their metabolic conundrum was created from the emotional side, and how much was it created from the they just didn't know, or they were eating a bad intake of, like, let's say they were like a vegan, and so they've been deprived nutrition for such a long time just based on that. You know, maybe there was no negative emotional attachment with their food. It was just the fact that it was a bad choice of food. You know, so that's one thing where I look at. But now I really tell people, like, you have to ask yourself, how do you respond to the cheat? And is the cheat because you are emotionally trying to cover something else up, or you got stressed, or what? And then how is that going to be coming back from it? You know, like, when you're done with the cheat, are you going to be able to go back to the straight and narrow, or did you just give yourself more of that drug that you've been craving this whole time? So I think all of those things are, like, important when they factor in. But at the end of the day, you know, it's got to be you're committed to this lifestyle, living that lifestyle, and then, you know, continuing down that path. So kudos to your dad. Tell him I said congrats. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, will do. I did make him, like, stuff, like, so he wouldn't feel too deprived. So I made him, like, a keto pumpkin pie. Okay. He loved that. Okay. Yeah, so, like, he was like, can you make that again for Christmas? So I was like, so you're going to stick through it through Christmas? And he saw, yeah. I told him to set another goal, so that way, like, because a lot of times, like, again, I go back to Keto Savage, he mentioned it. You once you hit your goal, what then? Like, a lot of people don't know what to do once they hit that goal. Like, they think... using the show as an example, the bodybuilding show I did my goal of doing a show. Afterwards, what then? I binged eating. That's what a lot of people do once they hit their goal. They use it as an excuse to
feel crazy,
let themselves go a little bit. Yeah. As a reward for themselves.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is it still goes back to that same emotional aspect of food, right? Like, oh, I worked out really hard today, so I get to eat, you know, chips. And it's like, first off, it doesn't even work out that way. Like, it's not... It's not how it works. So yeah, cool. I mean, that's absolutely awesome. So now, kind of, you know, what if someone were to come to you and say, hey, why should I start or try keto? What would your response be?
Why to start? Just for health benefits. I always bring up the mental clarity. I say, like, if anything, even if I didn't lose one more pound, I'd be just happy for it, just for the mental clarity of it. That's one of the main aspects I would like to point out to it. It's not a weight loss diet. It's a lifestyle that gives you complete control over your food, your relationship with food, and just gives you 100% better mental clarity. So, well, that's how it is. So that would be my main thing to them.
Okay, mental clarity. So, I mean, start with that. And you know what? In the world that we live in right now, with depression and anxiety and just the level at which people are not happy in their minds, I would say that that's a heck of a reason to start and want to change. So now, what do you see long-term for your daughter and your family? And, you know, are you guys planning on having more children? I'm assuming you would obviously continue to have the whole family ketogenic. But, you know, kind of talk me through what your thought process is on those things.
We got so lucky, I think, with the first one that sometimes we question having a second one, just because from the very beginning, she's never been sick. I say that is because of keto. She doesn't have any of the bad things, but she's never been, like, sick. She's never had bursts of spitting up. She's been sleeping through the night from, I think, 2 months. Most parents might hate me at that, but for 2 months, she's been sleeping through the night.
Yeah, there's people that are probably going to disconnect right now.
Yeah, they're like, I'm done listening. She's had one blowout diaper. I've never, like, if you see those parents that show pictures of their blown out diapers of their kids, I've only had one.
I promise you, I've never, and probably won't ever, but yeah.
Yeah, don't. And she's very well behaved. She doesn't have temper, I wouldn't say never has tempered tantrums, but you see those kids that get on a sugar high and go crazy. She's never done that. So I don't know if we just got lucky or if it's keto. I can't definitively say it was because of keto, but I just got lucky.
No, I think that's awesome. But, I mean, these are the things that people see as, you know, non-scale victories, right? Like, those are the things I think that are keto impacted for sure, that kind of go overlooked. Like, you know, the aspect of your mood stabilization, whether it's for children or adults, like, it's there. I don't think that's any kind of I think it's directly related, I guess, is my point. I don't think anyone could look at that and say it's not, you know, one and one and the same. So
yeah, I would say that too. I just don't want to be like the guy selling like snakeskin oil or snake oil.
No, it's okay. I'll sell it for you. Yeah. No worries. I think that, you know, I think one of the things that is crazy to me about keto more than anything else is that people will take the time to do all these crazy diets, literally crazy diets like HCG and being at ridiculous caloric deficits and all these other things in hopes of something. And keto is the one thing I really feel like I can't oversell it, because no matter who you are, when you start, the changes are literally that dramatic.
Yeah.
That I can. It's not like I talk up a really good movie and then you watch the movie and you're like, it was all right. Like, no. When you do keto properly, like, it really is that big of a difference. Especially since, you know, one thing you had alluded to earlier is that, you know, you were so metabolically damaged and jacked up that when you started the bodybuilding diet, which still put you at a super low caloric deficit, you were still making positive changes. And I feel like that's where the misinformation stems from so much in the keto community, is that people are so just overridden with sugars and chemicals that when they finally decide, you know what, I'm gonna clean up my diet a little bit, and they eat keto, for the most part, they still have amazing results. That's why, like, people that are like shoving Powerade Zero and making all these sweet alternatives and eating all these other things that are still not what I would consider whole food sources or things that should happen, people still find success in it and all of a sudden think like, oh, well, this is totally okay to do. And, you know, that will continue to be the battle for people as they kind of recognize the changes. And there is always a good, better, best way of doing things in that approach. So, I think that's just something we'll have to learn through and continue to grow as a community as we educate each other. But so now that you're coaching other people, do you coach full time?
I'm working on it. I took a my wife is looking for another job, so I've had to focus more on work, so I haven't had time. So I have a couple clients that I focus. My dad. I have some people on paintball that I coach. Speaking of coaching, like, I. Going on some of the benefits of keto, I'm going to go off on another tantrum. Not tantrum, but another
tangent.
Venue you. Here. But another aspect of keto is the anti-inflammatory effect. My buddy's a triathlon athlete, so he does the running, the biking, and the swimming. And I told him about keto because he was complaining about his knee. He's a very type A personality, and he came back to me like a couple months later, and he's all, when you first told me that keto would help me, he's all, I thought you were effing crazy. He's all... He was all ridiculous. He's all, now I don't need any things for my knee. Like, he says he can do his runs. No problem without any inflammations on his knee. He says he doesn't feel any pain. Before he had to have knee surgery still, but he says prior to his knee surgery, he was still able to get a couple runs in with no pain whatsoever.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, as a canine decoy myself, man, like, that's, I can't stress it enough that I recover way better because of that. And I've had 5 knee surgeries. So, you know, I was at one point told I wouldn't be able to walk without a brace. I had a custom brace that was made and I don't even know where it is. So, I mean.
Yeah. Oh, congrats to you.
Yeah. I mean, congrats to keto. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, those are the kind of stories and those are the things that, you know, they seem like they're miracles, but they're really not miracles. It's really just being able to put yourself in a position, change your mindset to grow into something that you never thought was possible. So let's talk about that for a second. So your wife was eating paleo when you met her, and you had kind of been all over the scale. How was the mindset approach for you guys, like, in saying, you know, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, even for your wife who looked paleo, was looking paleo, was still having sweets. How did that adjustment for her go? Like, what's the mental state of the Santucci household in food now, different than when it was?
Now we just look at food as like I said earlier, fuel. I don't think she had much say in it, 'cause I do all the cooking. So she was like, I'm just going to eat what's cooked in front of me. So it was an easy switch, because like now that I lived on my own, now that I have my wife and I just lived in that household, I was like, I'm going to do all the cooking. And she was like, okay. She was like completely on board with it. The mindset was, we want to be healthy. We want to be here for our kids. We want our kids to be healthy. So they're going to eat what we eat.
And that's it. And that was yeah. I figured that you were going to say something pretty simplistic, which is why I asked. I feel like people try to overcomplicate it. I can't tell you how many people have come to me that are on Whole30 or on Paleo or on something else. And they're like, I don't know how I'd make the change. And they look at it and it's like so overwhelming. It's like, it's really easy. Just realize that the food is fuel. You're going to change your fuel source and you're going to feel better from doing it. Oh. Like, that's it.
But yeah, I tell people that all the time. It's simple. It's more simple than it looks. Like, people think that it's so hard. And I'm like, they're like, what do you do when you go out? It's either I don't eat or I can just do something, order meat.
Right.
Like I don't feel bad ordering meat.
Not at all. I don't need some kind of thing on it as a side to go with it. So I love it. I love it. I think that's awesome. So the last thing I'm going to kind of roll through with you, because I feel like I tell people all the time they need to limit their coffee intake because of its cortisol response, which is still true. But I am definitely a coffee fanatic. So what is your favorite coffee?
Ooh, my friend comes from Brazil, and he brought me this coffee. I forgot what it was called, but he brings me to it every time he comes to a paintball event. And it's so strong. It comes in like a brick. It looks like a brick of cocaine.
Okay.
It's not white. Okay. It just looks like a brick. I was like, how do you get these over? And it just, that was the best coffee I had. That or in Utah, because there's a place called Alpha Coffee that actually makes a ketogenic coffee. So it has MCT oil and it has butter. So it's basically a bulletproof coffee. So in the States, if you're ever in Utah, there's a place called Alpha Coffee, and I think it's Cottonwood.
Cottonwood. Okay, I will look that up, the Alphawood, and if I can find the link for like a website, I'll put it in the show notes so people have that. But cool. Anything that you want to sign off on, like, that people need to know before leaving you, and where can they find you?
I'm at Kids Coffee Bacon on Instagram. I also do have my blog website, which sometimes gets updated by my wife. It's kidscoffeebacon.com. And each thing is hashtag don't fear the fat. So that's the last thing I would leave you guys on.
Hashtag don't fear the fat. I love it. That's absolutely epic. Don't fear the fat. That should be on a t-shirt, man. You got to get that set up.
All right. I'll work on it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, listen, Steven, I appreciate you taking the time out, man. I think that was some great insight. There are so many people I know that are going to be listening to this and think to themselves, man, I've been doing this all wrong and I should make a change and a switch. And so I appreciate you sharing your story. I appreciate you looking beyond yourself to continue helping others. I think that that's where this impact of keto and changing the world really takes place, is each person being able to share beyond themselves the impact, and for raising your daughter in the way that she should go, man, so that when she gets old, she doesn't depart from it. I think that's absolutely fantastic. And we'll continue to keep touch offline, man, or stay in touch offline so that we can kind of be a part of that journey. So thank you so much for taking the time out today. I appreciate it, man. And I wish you guys all the best.
Thank you. Thank you for having me too.
Hey, yeah, no problem, man.
The Keto Matrix Podcast, where myths are busted, science is explained, and the keto lifestyle is discussed by industry experts and everyday people alike. For more information and support, go to theketomatrix.com.